Well, thank you very much for coming along. That's what you say, right?
We've got one more person about to surprise you around here.
Hi, how are you? Great timing. Okay, so I don't know how many of you all came last night, so you've just sort of been acquainted with some of the words, which is quite good. The last talk I talked about the retreat was at the City Gallery, and it was in a lecture theatre, and it was done for various reasons. But it became quite clear that I wasn't necessarily that great at it for a while. I got a bit nervous and that type of thing. So I think this one, I want it to be a little bit more relaxed if possible. And we'll do it quite quickly because I know that it's quite cold as well. What I might do is, there are a couple of works that will take us through the show from one end to the other, and through that time it would be really great, and I have no problem whatsoever with someone interrupting me or what have you, just to ask any questions, because I think that that's a good way of probably unpacking some of the work. And I don't know how many people have read through anything about the show, but I could just explain quickly that the retreat is a collection, and that collection of work has been acquired over a certain period of time. The work isn't for viewers, it's for me. So the work has a conceptual quantity to it to fit inside the retreat. So it's not me collecting to show off to people, it's me collecting to build a language. So we'll go to this one, I thought. So there are various artists throughout this show, and there are other artists involved that weren't in the show, because that's the nature of the collection, that you can pick and choose what works work best for the particular scenarios. But this is that's my work, and it's obviously a photograph, and it's a photograph taken in Cork, which is in Ireland. And it's an interesting photograph because it was a photograph taken with no intention for it to do anything other than possibly something like a sketch or something to maybe put into one of the sort of blank pages of my work. And it just evolved into that, and I think that that's an important, Kate and I talked maybe a couple of months ago about this idea where there is something like the retreat, but then there are these force fields beyond it which you have to penetrate to get into the retreat. So this was on the absolute fringe of what that was, and then over time it started to make a little bit more sense and creep in. So there are lots of works that are involved, but only a certain amount can infiltrate that and to come into what is known as the retreat. So I don't know if I need to explain it too much, but it's in a section of water where a river is coming down the river, and then that's just dropping off and colliding into, so that's just the turmoil at the end. But I think what was happening was I was relatively interested in this idea between hard edge abstraction and a level of emotiveness that goes with the delivery of photographing something like a body of water. So I find myself constantly trying to select images for things that it's very hard for me to control them sometimes, because it makes me look like a particular artist. But I'm trying to do maybe two or three things in the one shot, which is a difficult thing to do, and I'm by no means any good at it, but just sometimes it works, and I thought this work worked like that. Does anyone have any particular questions about this?
What's the black?
The black's water.
Water as well?
Yeah.
So you've
it's all
done
that? No, it's done on film, just on film camera.
We started to study that.
It's definitely water, yeah.
I'm not criticizing it, but I didn't know how you got the black.
Yeah.
Because that's quite extraordinary.
It is, yeah. I think, I mean, there has been a little bit of tampering,
yeah,
but not with the colour.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
No, no, it's fine.
I'm curious as to why you've included one of your own works in your collection.
That's
this is a collection of them. If we, as a sort of developing language for you to use, is this one of the force fields that we have to get through before we
I'll make work for the retreat.
Okay.
I'll contribute. I just don't see myself as a particularly good artist, therefore that's why I collect. And if I do, by chance, make something that I feel is presentable enough, then it will come through. Yeah. So I do make work, and it will be used if it's of a particular... It's a bit hit and miss in terms of my own ability to make art. But I can rely on everybody else, so it seems to be all right.
Maybe you'll get to this, but is there a certain premise to the way in which the collection is being used here at Physics Room?
Certain premise? I don't think, I definitely think about the space. There are only a couple of works that I edited from the collection to be presented in this space. But some of the works have also been presented or used in other exhibitions, so I'm quite interested in how something could be used a few years ago and could be used now. I don't date things generally. I don't think there's any need to date it because it's just a body of work. So there's no sort of guideline in terms of how I would utilise this space. Does that answer the kind of,
Yeah.
So I thought the other thing we could do is go to this little screen here with the work is originally done by a young artist that was living in Wellington. His name is Ryan Chatfield. So his work. This worked a little easier for me in Wellington because it had a geographical context, so people could plug into that and understand what I was potentially doing and where this took place in the retreat. But this is his work here in the vitrine. I have got a hold of that work somehow. It's not important, but it has come to me. And I've taken on the position to make works as Ryan Chatfield. So that's his work, but this is me. And I've made, over a period of time, some video works being Ryan Chatfield. I don't know if it's really important for me to talk about the idea of it's not about Ryan Chatfield, and I know that that sounds a little bit crossover, but it isn't about Ryan Chatfield. It is about very much about this character. So I don't know much about a character, and I don't know much about this work, to be honest. But what I do like is its relationship. Probably what I figured out is its relationship to some type of maybe bleed or crossover between animal and that person. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship and a little bit of humour involved, and I quite like that. Which could make me go back to that point of who gets into the retreat, how does the retreat function in terms of whose work goes in what, and sometimes I find it hard to keep track of how that operates, but I do give myself a few guidelines and they sort of work out in time. Which probably leads me to the idea of how is it that you could be 27 as a young male artist in New Zealand and not be pigeonholed in terms of aesthetic and that was what my interests were when I first started up something like the retreat, because what I saw at the time, and I was included in Declined, a show which was a work in itself, but it was a show which was a group show, and that group show did everything that every other group show does, which is establish an aesthetic for an artist at a certain age. Therefore, as time goes on after that group show, that artist has maybe had 4 or 5 shows using the same work to the same kind of realm, and therefore you know that artist for that work or that type of work. And that was something that I was really, really determined to break. I think it began as a level of, again, gamesmanship, but then it became quite serious because I thought it was much more interesting to have a roaming aesthetic and not be pinned down by one, basically. So I enjoyed Ryan's work, this head. Therefore, I took on the opportunity to create these works, or to make these works, and have no chain to it. I was not guilty for making them because no one knew they were mine. You know what I mean? You can let that go and it breathes, and it's not attached to me. It just so happens that I've got a hold of some video footage. I quite like it, and now it's in the retreat. So it's not important if that's mine. It's not important if that's mine. But somewhere in between all of these works, there could be some type of relationship. And I think that's what that language was that I was talking about earlier on. So there's an accumulation, and that'll take time and that's fine, but it does happen. I thought the third work that I could have a look at with you all, since you're all here, is the work in the far right hand corner. Authorship, we've just been going over, this is somebody else's work, and it clearly is somebody else's work because I purchased that work off someone for the purpose of acquiring it as a collector. So this person is called Courtney Lucas, she's living in Australia at the moment. That image has been floating around in my mind for a while because when I was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I'd been documenting similar imagery, and I wasn't, like I said earlier, not a great artist, and they were sort of going off the wall a bit, and I couldn't quite deal with I couldn't quite capture, or I couldn't quite get what I wanted. I saw that, and that's exactly what I needed. So there was no reason for me to make work anymore. I could just take that and use it to fit into what was happening. So its relationship to those two works that we just looked at is it's clearly somebody else's work. But in terms of being a collector, for me, not for a viewer, this is how it works in terms of it does fit quite clearly in my mind with what's going on. And in my mind, it also connects clearly to future works that I haven't seen or haven't collected. But I know there's something in that that'll stay steady in terms of my practice and in terms of the longevity, I suspect, of something like a retreat. So those are the three works that I thought I'd talk about, which sort of brought us through the show. I don't know how succinctly, but it did do that. Does anyone have anything in particular they need to sort of go through, or does that just sum it up and we can all go get pizza? I don't know.
Maybe you could just clarify a little bit more about the authorship, because while you're explaining,
maybe the best thing is there's no clarity.
Okay.
And that's where the beauty of it lies. And that's where I can take the lead off the dog, so to speak, and let it run, you know. And at some stage on that walk it should return. But it's up to the dog to come back, I guess. So the authorship is I'm not that interested. Really, I'm not that interested. I'm interested in imagery, I suspect, and how that works with other imagery that I've either collected or I've made.
I guess in that regard, maybe in relation to Courtney's work, your work, could you describe some of the attributes of that piece that were similar in terms of the intent? You know, you were saying that you'd been looking for or trying to create similar kinds of things, and that there was something in this that was already predisposed for you to kind of like it and for it to be functioning in that way. So I wonder if you could maybe just give us a handful of things about it that make it fit the right kind of criteria.
Well, first and foremost, I know that it fit the criteria because it was just a small body of water, and that was something that I'd been interested in and had been interested in through finding other imagery and having a story on a tape that's become a really important story for me. That's just the narrated story, and it uses this idea of a pool of water. What images like this image does, possibly the first one, and most definitely something like this image, is that in terms of having a studio-based practice, the idea of a retreat suggests that I'm not a studio-based artist, and potentially something like a retreat is commonly referred to, I suspect, as an outdoor pursuit or what have you. So these images, for me, geographically locate and give more weight to the idea of the retreat. So that play on word is that the retreat is either the studio or somewhere that I potentially go to something, to sort of like pray or manifest visions or what have you, or not make art and leave art and just go to replenish one's soul or mind and then maybe return back to the studio to make art. So I was interested in maybe clouding the waters a little as to why do I have to make art in the studio, and it's never made in the studio. Sometimes it is, but it's hardly ever made in the studio, so why would I make work in the studio? I found it quite interesting. Why not go and live in the jungle for 8 months and make work, you know? How would you do that? Well, is it a beautiful possibility that you could live in your own existence with no one around, but still make work? And where would those visions come from to make work from? I don't know if that makes. So that was one of the criteria.
It interests me, I guess, because you're talking about like a body of water or a pool of water. And I guess because you're talking about notions of authorship, I can't help but think of, Narcissus and a certain pool of water. And the fact that, you've already used phrases like clouding the waters, and I guess for me that's an interesting example of the fact that you seem to allow that sort of sense of collectivity because of your collecting practices.
And I guess something like the idea of using words like pattern of self-concern is a real kind of connection. Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, it's nature abound, you know, so I guess it's attached to that idea that I'm never inside or something. Or the artist that I choose to communicate with are never inside. Or I think that, for me, that's sort of important. And maybe this is going to get really loose on everyone, and it's loose on me because I still haven't pinned it down. But I think I've been thinking a lot about something like One Day Sculpture, where talks about this idea that you can occupy the outside gallery. And for me, somehow the way I make work and the way I think about collecting work is sort of similar, but then I kind of guess, I cross myself over and because I show it in a gallery, which sometimes disappoints me. Why would I have to, I make a kind of comment about that idea where there's a glass vitrine and I've captured something and you put it in the gallery. But I would really like to just Maybe I would like to have this fulfilled notion of living in the outdoors and making work and just showing it to birds or something. I don't know, why does it have to fit in the gallery?
Mm.
You know? I can't quite work that out. So sometimes I... that's very annoying for me. You know, I would like to... I don't know how else to show it. But it feels like there's another life happening, and I'm just this... I guess that's what the collecting does. You just grab it and bring it in for someone else to look at. But I feel a bit mean sometimes, you know. Like, I have no control over this character. But I try. And there's a weird attempt there. I don't know what that is, but...
But it's reality.
How do you mean?
It's reality.
I meant to be getting loose on you. That's a loose comment. That's great.
It's reality because if you turn it round, you know how old we are, that you all have starts to come. I have this vision that I can run away from the world and live on my own, surrounded by nothing but nature. But I have responsibilities, so it's reality. It's the same as you. You could run away, but you've still got to live. Am I on the same way?
Yeah, so is my living lived out in a gallery?
It's reality.
God, that's depressing. Living my life out in a gallery is a bit depressing, isn't it?
But it's reality.
You
have responsibilities to yourself, to your around you. But you also make something. I think the word sharing is quite close with reality. I don't know if I'm on the same way, but that's what I'm getting. But I can see what you're saying. Because I'm bursting to run away, but I have responsibility.
Yeah, maybe this is just a sort of, this is a platform, isn't it? Just some sort of, just one of potentially many formats to distribute that language, I guess. But
it is a language.
I'm getting a little frustrated about why it would have to work in a gallery. And then tomorrow morning I'll be, you know, trying to bring as many dealers as I possibly can to see.
So this is
reality.
I think you do enjoy it, because you...
You think I do?
Well, you present it to us in a way that is obviously very considered, and in a way that it makes it, well, not easier for us to look at. But, you know, you install the show, you put a lot of time and effort and energy and thought into the way that we're going to progress from the front door to the back wall, and consider each work and then all as a whole. And so, you know, you wouldn't put things on a beautiful walnut stick and thing. And you wouldn't if you didn't want us to enjoy looking at those objects.
Yeah.
And put a beautiful spotlight on it so that the gold monkey reflects the way it does, and we would go, oh, beautiful gold monkey. So you like play a trick on us in a way that you don't want us, you know. And just last night, I know that you guys were talking a lot about trickery and stuff. There was a lot of discussion about what way this man is standing. Now, I don't know if that's important, but everyone thinks his feet are like around there, right? And he's like, they think you've done something, just like...
If I could get my feet and legs to do that, I'd be making more money than I am now.
Yeah,
you
know, so he's like, everyone looks at things and they know you're tricking us because there's no names on the work or anything like that, so like, the mind just constantly wonders. But maybe that's what... Do you want us to do that?
But see, my program when I come into a gallery is to respect the work and respect the space. So I sort of see myself as just a kind of positioning device. I just want the works to shine in their best light, I suspect. But
and literally.
Quite literally. Yeah. So I don't know. There are times when I've operated in a gallery where it would... I like the idea that I don't know how to operate in a gallery, so I know how to operate, for example, hypothetically speaking, in the jungle. But when I bring whatever's happened there, here, I've got no idea. It's not about that. And therefore, how would one operate inside a gallery space without 4 years of art school training and a few years out having a few shows? How does one do that other than call up a butcher? here and say, look, I've got some art, I'd really like you to come install it into the physics room for me. And he possibly, or she possibly, would have no idea, but why would that be any different? You know, if that person came in and just distributed the works around as they saw fit, then I'd be quite happy with it. I'd be interested to see how that would go as an experiment. So I think maybe the idea that you, Vanessa, have visited galleries often, maybe that's the learn. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm being honest with you.
But you adopt it because you use a vitrine and you use a plinth, right?
Mm.
Which is an amazing gallery, right?
So I mimic that.
Yeah, or maybe if you want to say you mimic it, then yeah.
Or which connects back to authorship. Like, I'm mimicking somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's all I know. Hence my idea that possibly I'm not a good artist, because all I do know is how to mimic. But it's a conceptual argument, you know. Maybe I am a genius and I'm just disguising it. But that does it imagine.
Who are you disguising it from?
Well, you, for this purpose of the argument.
But you're disguising it from, unless you're talking lies. I mean, the need surely to show. What's the difference between...
But I lie all the time. Like, I lie about this. And...
No.
No, I do lie. I do lie to people about this work.
Don't we all?
Well, is that the never let the truth get in, you know...
But I was honest with you tonight. It just so happens that sometimes I just drip feed that out.
I think for me, it seems like the authorship of all these works is kind of like it's a bit irresponsible, and not like in a negative way, but in not taking accountability for the works individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, do you feel some sort of necessity to display the works in a considered manner to kind of do them justice? Like, you have ownership of them, so there is a requirement for you to do a service to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was probably, in terms of that comment, it was probably important to introduce you to a work that I made, and I was happy to say that that was my work. And making work and then exhibiting it in a gallery is an interesting experience, because it's always connected to the artist, so then you have to speak up about that and you have to stand by that. And I mean, sometimes I guess, I suspect that there's an element of... I set up that framework where there's a collection and you can remove yourself from that. So there is a little bit of running away, or you're right, irresponsible is a great word. I think that sometimes I enjoy that position. It's not a kind of regret to be irresponsible, it's a relishing of being irresponsible. And when it all comes down to it, I suspect that doesn't really matter, because everyone gets to look at what's in the space anyway. And that's sort of the end of the story. And then the new one begins, which is the person's or the viewer's interpretation of their want from the work as a viewer.
In the context of this show, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, why do I choose to show in the gallery? And yes, I think that's a really valid question for anyone. It's not a given to show it in a gallery. I think we take it for granted.
It looks good in a gallery, eh?
But it's, I mean, we're here.
Yes, Gary, it looks great in the gallery. Is that what you wanted to
get? No, I was just checking. Yeah.
I think that's a valid question. In the context of the show, you're already using the language of collecting and a museological one. And this is what we see. And this is with it very much posited in a space like this. Because it's about collecting and it's about individual works and as a group. And in order to draw an area of...
I just go back to the mimicking though. You know, maybe I've just got no idea. And maybe the idea of the new honesty is being clueless, and how that could potentially enrich the work. You know, maybe I don't have a clue, and maybe I should enjoy that. You know? But it's up to. But then again, you go back to, maybe it's up to you to decipher whether that's honest or or trickery.
I don't know if you think through this. What I really appreciate about the show is how it is in the gallery. And I have a question in a minute which affects me.
I thought you might.
But I really, what I really appreciate it, and maybe it's because of the peg I'm on at the moment, but this idea of trying to rethink what an exhibition can do. And in this case, I feel as though it's such an unusual exhibition. It's activating the gallery, it's been quite sort of performative, and it's hard to know where the exhibition lies. It's kind of like the exhibition is a fiction, and a lot of the works in here are pointing elsewhere, perhaps to the retreat. Maybe they're meant to be somewhere else at the moment. That's a bit
No, I'm there.
I just feel like there's all these pointers out of the gallery.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's activating the gallery with a whole another kind of take on what an exhibition can be. I would say you're not clueless. I would say maybe you're being precarious, or you know, that you're not actually locating anything here. Just as the authorship is really all over the place. As an audience member, I'm not sure which is G. Bridle's, which isn't, and. All of it is, and all of it isn't.
Yeah.
My question is.
Yeah, hit me with it, Laura.
Is there a vision? Do you have a vision? Is there a collection policy here? Is like connected to Kate's query with what intrigued you about this image, and where can you see the future? What are the motifs that you're drawing? Is there an architectural structure to this retreat?
Where do I?
Yeah, what will the museum look like?
I know. I think I do play a little bit to chance, because what is it when you hear about a collector who is now 64 and they were collecting when they were 24, and they say, I just had a gut feeling. There was a chance that something like this was going to work out, or they never really, do they ever really pin it? Like, we could just try to pin it, you know? There is always a little bit of, potentially in 3 weeks' time, I'll have to tell Courtney that her work is hideous, and it has to go. I don't know, but what I do know right now is that it works really well, and in my mind, it does have a future.
So it's a bit like meditating at the retreat.
But I think the future of all collections is that, I mean, they're all in action, right? They're just in a storeroom. So it's just when you bring them out, they've just got something else happening. But they're always in action. I mean, everyone's probably been to collections of like the Francis, is it the Hodgkin? Not France. Yeah, I know the gallery in Dunedin. I remember going on a little, like a school trip there, and seeing some works, and then seeing twice as many works down under and through a few doors. Hyde Park Art Museum in Chicago have all these amazing works in the gallery, and then someone opens this door, and it's like the warehouse in Lyle Bay. There's no horizon, you know, it's just clothes. But in this case, it was just sort of artifacts, just amazing, amazing works, hundreds of them, and they just sit there. But do they sit there? I mean, they do have, there's something going on there. It's just that they're not, there's no on button, it's just they're operating in that space at that time. So I think, why not collect that? Why not show it now? And why not never show it for another 7 years? And then bring it out on the 8th, because it does work, and I don't know what capacity. It could be at the end of art gallery, but it could be in 7 years. And that's the only other time I ever show it, but it does work at that time, at that place, with the other works that I think it operates with and well. So I think that that's what that's the framework, I guess, as a sort of wing and prayer framework.
How many times have you actually shown this image?
I've shown this collection once, and not all of it was in it, in the show.
So is there a piece that you have affinity with that would carry it through to the next one? That you start with, maybe a collector, would start off with a piece.
Like a title page?
Yeah. You don't have to answer which one.
No. No, there isn't. No, that's a good, I like that. There is not one work that I would hold on to forever and have it being used in the gallery all the time. Yeah, I don't think, I wouldn't see that as a complete necessity.
So, did you bring one of your works down here when you...
Yeah, there are other works that are rolled up and packed away and that they could have been used. And there's also work in Wellington that I thought about using but knew that possibly I had enough in here. And sometimes, maybe back to Claire's commentary about the idea of the sort of being able to navigate and negotiate an install process, is that those works were excluded for a reason. I don't know what that was, but they were excluded. So they didn't fit the bill. I don't know what that is. Does it not fit the space? Does it not fit with the other works? But there was a decision-making process there. I just have to figure that out. I'm just bringing it up.
Do you want to, or how do you prevent this from just becoming like a curatorial exercise, or do you want to?
Yeah.
Like,
do you see it as a curatorial exercise, or do you see it as a...
Now I wonder, when I came here last night, I actually thought that you had actually made all this work. I was not aware that it was a collection, but...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But now that I'm privileged to get information, how do you stop it? Or do you want to stop it from becoming...
I can't stop that.
Curators?
I can't stop that. I can stop it when you ask me this question. And then I say, I'm first and foremost, I like to think of myself on a good day and with... amazing optimism that I'm an artist slash collector.
Right.
So curatorial program or curatorial intentions don't come into that. Yeah. Maybe, you know, if I got cocky I'd give Laura a run for her money. But I don't see myself as a curator at all. Yeah. I see myself as just an acquirer just trying to get a body of work together.
I've got a question about that. In terms of collecting, essentially you're talking about possession and then provision of the work maybe in a gallery space or, I mean, I guess I'm interested, before you were talking about the fact that objects can still function sort of in storage or if they're sort of on hold. And I just wanted to ask a quick question in relation to, I guess, the documentation of the show that you'd had at Enjoy, where there seemed to be some kind of storage area.
Yeah.
And how that functioned then.
Yeah. God, when was that?
I don't know.
I feel like I was 15 when I had that.
04?
Yeah.
06?
Oh, right, yeah.
Something?
Yeah, there was a whole lot going on in that show that's just unbelievably terrible. But it had to, and I flicked through, like sometimes I sort of dare myself to look on the Enjoy homepage to go back through the archives and have a laugh at myself. But there was a lot going on there, and it was going on there on purpose because I needed to cancel things out. The idea of the storage unit was... To possibly talk about the idea of not being able to navigate myself in the gallery space because I was too clumsy to remove it. And it was just a demonstration of these are the things that I needed to make the show. Why are they not in the show? Well, they are because they were a vital part of making the show happen. And I did that at this Hirschfeld Gallery. As well, there's a long corridor and there's a room on the side of the corridor. And everything that I used to make, much to the technician's despair because I took all his ladders and things, but all the ladders, the paint, things that I used to set up the show. So there was a clear line between this is a gallery, this is a storage room, yet there's a little bit of art in here. Because it could still go back into the gallery, and I could still possibly want to do something throughout the existence of the show. So if I wanted to paint a wall, I could do that. I just have to go into the storage room, which was part of the gallery, to do that. So yeah, I don't see why... I'm going to try and answer your question now. So there's no limit to that idea where... There's no limit to where you... where things stop and where things start, I suspect, yeah. You know, like, why could I not fly back down from Wellington and just go, oh, I've made this work and I thought it would work really well, I'm just going to get Jamie to hang it for me. There's no reason why that couldn't happen, and no, I'd actually quite like that to happen. It's not, because I've only got 3 weeks and, you know, I'm not that good at that sort of thing. It would be a lovely thing to have happen, to have a vision and to have someone, or for me to execute that vision and then just bring it down and say this is very much a part of the retreat. It's managed to jump over those fences, it's in, it needs to be shown, there's a space there, and it goes up and it functions and it works. I think that would be a lovely thing, but you know, times are ticking.
Next time round.
Yeah.
And one question.
Yep.
Is J. Bridle separable or inseparable?
Oh yeah, we
from the collection.
Well, it's my collection, that's my name.
So.
Oh, in terms of maybe like on like text on the wall, or would I have to say, hi, my name is J. Bridle, I own the retreat?
I guess I'm trying to work out where J. Bridle sits. You know, are you inseparable from the collection? Like, are you
bothered
in
each
of these works? Or just, I'm interested
yeah.
In like...
So how many pies have I had my finger in, and
not
do I have to have my name attached to all of it?
I guess I'm thinking about, because I feel like in some ways I'm watching a performance here a little bit, and J. Bridle.
Right.
And I'm talking about J. Bridle, and I know that's you, but I feel like it's an entity as much as a collector is often an entity. I just wonder whether there's any separation.
Can I answer? Say something about that. I guess for me, G. Bridle kind of functions as a term of reference. I don't know if that's how you feel about it, because obviously you share initials and some other letters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the framing of the work, using those sort of display, sort of the encultured space of a gallery and the sort of way of operating, that it becomes more than just a characterisation. But it is a term of reference that through the works moving around in different configurations, you know, that you're still sketching out what J. Bridle is up to.
What do you
think?
Maybe
character
is a misleading term, maybe it's not the right one, but.
Yeah, I think for now that those, if you thought about the retreat and G. Bridle, they work together for now. But I've talked to people about the way I think about making work, and that is about a longevity. So for now it's that. It would forever be, in my eyes, in my mind, those two things, the retreat and G. Bridle. But at some point, potentially, that they would separate. Well, they don't have to, but they could. I want there to be a level of elasticity that goes with that. Maybe if I'm interested in this idea that it would have this sort of touring aspect too. It's kind of, that interests me. So why not? You know, it's like a branding or something, isn't it? It's quite, sort of enters into that territory. And then that's another artist talk or something. But for now it's that. And that's the way I choose to operate. And that seems to work for me.
Yeah.
But there is, like I said earlier, no reason why in 3 days' time something happens and work is made, I bring it back here and it works. There's no reason why in the near future or in further on future that changes. It just so happens to be the way it works now. It's a good way of not answering your question, isn't it?
I think you'd think about it more, because we've talked a lot about names over the last week in very light-hearted way, like jovial, and laughing about names.
Yeah, absolutely.
Names, and I think that actually has a really strong, like, as much as we laughed about it and joked and stuff and teased each other, it actually meant quite a bit, I think, in the long term. Because you obviously consider it quite a bit, so it's got a kind of stronger underbelly at some point. But I don't see you about to go and change it.
Yeah, I think what I do is when I think about it, if I think about it, which I'm thinking about it now, I always thought of establishing something. I've always thought of establishing something, and then the idea would be to be happy with that, and happy with it so you could stick with it for some time. So, yeah, I mean, I did think about names, and I thought about names, and I think about that sort of thing a lot, like you say, purely because, I mean, you don't want to go changing your business card all the time, you know?
Well, it's costly exercise.
It is. So you want to get it cut right at the beginning. And I think that is a relatively loose analogy, but that's how it operates. I mean, and I guess if you... we're going to take it into the trademark kind of zone. You want to establish something in a market, or you want to establish something quite firm, quite quickly, so you have that for a longer period of time. Like if I'm a Jeep rider, I think if I'm sitting in somewhere, not a Jungle Wind studio, and I'm 38, I think, oh, you know what? I'm going to be Jeep rider because I've been Gary for however many years. I would think in my mind that you would just you'd do that a little earlier, so you've got that time.
Well, it's like you say, like you're trying to steer away from having a really defined aesthetic. It's just another way of doing it, yeah. Like, you have this room to kind of move around as far as the work that you choose and make. But there's still some sort of signpost for people to know it's your work. This retreat.
Do you think that there's an aesthetic at work, though?
Certainly, but like you mentioned earlier on that you didn't want to be pigeonholed. And I guess by creating this persona or whatever, G-Bible, and having the retreat. It's just another way of there being like a consistency or a constant.
I like that. But what I don't like is the idea of G-Bible being a persona. No, I don't, because that's my name.
Well, yeah, you haven't made it up, it's not a pseudonym.
Yes.
It's just a shortened version of your name, Susan Edition, right? So it's quite different than calling yourself Fred someone.
Maybe.
It's important that it's not a character.
Yeah.
It's important that it's not performative. There are performative elements in the way I think about work, but I'm very sure that G. Bridal is not a character and it's not performative. I'm very sure that that's just a name. No matter how much thinking I do about it, and know how many times I change my email address, that's just my name.
But it's interesting that people talk about it quite a bit, that because you don't use your name as Gary Bridal when you have a show, and like, you know, you use G. Bridal, and that's a decision that you've made. But if Claire was to have a show, she calls herself Claire Noonan, it's not C. Noonan. But as soon as you make that decision, people start to question you as to why you're doing that. But you know, you write your name on your driver's license, or you use your initials. So how is that any different?
Or on your MasterCard.
On your MasterCard. Yeah, like it's not your full name sometimes. So.
And I quite like its relationship to a horse, you know, which is animal, which is about.
But why do you think people seem to struggle with that?
Because they don't have a cool name like Jeep. I don't know. That's the. That's their prerogative, or that's their problem. You know, I don't know if I'm that interested in going there with them, because it just seems like their hang-up. And I think, well, I know that's how I think about work a lot. I like a lot of the hermetic nature. I like the idea that I can make work because it needs to be made, and possibly, and quite possibly, it's made for me. It just so happens to be in this space and other people are looking at it, but it's never intended for anybody else. And I've always had an interest in that. I've always had an interest in, you know, when I started this talk, I talked about the idea of collecting for me, not for a viewer. And I think once you have the optimism and I guess a level of confidence that goes with the idea of just making work because it needs to be made, or acquiring work because you need to acquire it for you, that's when it begins. You know? When you're not having to feed somebody else. I think there's a lovely power involved in that, and there's a solidity with inside yourself when you start to operate like that. And when you do operate like that, you do find a level of perspective that can assist you in being quite clear about the decisions you make. And that's all right. So I think about it. But I don't mind people bringing up wine. I just don't have a definitive answer, you know, because it doesn't bother me. How cold is everybody? Is everyone, that's okay? Would everyone, anyone else like to kind of, to move in and have a question or want to talk about something? It's perfectly fine.
I was just thinking,
do
you ever see that reflection might be complete, and what happens at that point?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Maybe there's hope in the fact that you can never really get a full catalogue of an archive.
Well, you should think about, you could also think about it as a, yeah, this is going to get sticky. But this idea that it's a framework, and a framework only, it's a conceptual framework. So, yeah, there's no reason why it would just stop. It doesn't even exist. You know? Leave it at that. Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it.